exterminator of idols.
According to the biblical narrative, if you look at the ancient scrolls of Samuel, you will hear the story that I am about to tell of my life. You see, according to the biblical narrative, I am the son of Jonathan. Jonathan, you may remember, was the son of Saul, the great warrior, the best friend of David. And even though his father, Saul, sought to exterminate David and his rebellion, I had sympathy and saved him. And he apparently remembered that kindness. My story is told in 2 Samuel. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Saul's son Jonathan had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled. And in her haste to flee, it happened that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. We learn later in chapter 5 that David, after conquering his enemies, is anointed king. And in chapter 6, the famous story of the dancing David coming naked up the stairs into Jerusalem and bringing our Ark of Covenant to at last rest in the new capital of Jerusalem. And then, as David continued to build his monarchy, he remembered his friendship with Jonathan. And even though Jonathan and his father Saul were killed at the Battle of Gilboa, he remembered the kindness Jonathan had given him. The story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David asked, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and he was summoned to David. The king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." The king said, "Is there anyone remaining of the house of Saul whom I may show kindness, the kindness of God?" Mark that word. We will talk about that word. In my ancient Hebrew, it means much more than a simple politeness. It means a caring of depth. "There remains a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, son of Amiel, at Lodibar. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, son of Amiel, to Lodibar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face in obeisance. David said to him, 'Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'I am your servant.' David said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the lands of your grandfather Saul,'" which were massive, "'and you yourself shall eat at my table always.'" He did obeisance and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon a dead dog such as I? And then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belongs to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, so that your master's grandson may have food to eat. But your master's grandson, Mephibosheth, shall always eat at my table, the king's table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord commands his servant, so shall your servant will do. Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. Now he was lame in both feet. May God bless the reading of his holy word. I remember these words from my childhood. I was barely 5 years old. And the words were, take the child and run. Saul and Jonathan are dead. This was the cry that served as one of my earliest childhood memories. As my nurse picked me up in her arms and fled from the palace. But in her frenzy, she tripped and fell and dropped me. And as I rolled down a flight of stairs, I became crippled in my leg. So at the age of 5, I was crippled for life. My grandfather Saul and my father Jonathan had both gone out to do battle against the Philistines. But they were defeated. And I was taken away and hid in the obscurity of a very small village, the village of Lodabar, far from the royal palace. And there I lived a quiet, private life. In time, I married. I had a child. No one, however, ever seemed aware of my royal parentage. But one day, to my surprise, there came a messenger from King David, summoning me to the imperial palace. I was terrified because it was customary for a new king to exterminate the whole families of preceding kings, to destroy every person of royal heritage. And so as I approached the king, I bowed low. I am your servant. But David, with a slight smile on his face, said, do not be afraid, for I will surely show kindness for your father's sake, for my close friend Jonathan's sake. I will share with you my bounty. You will always eat at my table. What is your servant? I stammered. That you should take notice of a dead dog like me. But it all came true. From then on, my family and I lived in the palace of King David, in the midst of his very own family, All of my restored lands were farmed and harvested by the former servant of my grandfather Saul, a man named Ziba. And my growing devotion and gratitude to my king, David, was inexpressible. But life is filled with unexpected change. One moment is great, the next moment not. How grieved we all were when David's son Absalom, his third son, conspired against his father with the intent of seizing the throne. It broke David's heart, but it was necessary for David to flee from the palace, taking with him his entire household, except for a few women who were left as caretakers. However, for some strange reason I've never explained, I didn't go. Maybe I was waiting to see the outcome. Maybe my crippledness just kept me from motion. But I stayed when everyone else left. My choosing to stay behind, I still puzzle over. I surely loved the king, but I was afraid. I wanted to see how the battle with Absalom would turn out. I realized that I was a coward in my heart. In spite of all that David had done for me, I still couldn't stand up for him. And one day, in facing my selfish attitudes for failing him, a word came that my servant Ziba was actually telling David that I was disloyal to him. And he had showered the king with great gifts of appreciation. He thought that he would be able to take control of all the land that David had bestowed on me. I was deeply distressed. I was truly remorseful. The king must surely believe that I was disloyal and would no longer have any love for him. And even though David conquered his son's rebellion, I knew I had something very difficult to face. Have you ever had a shaming, difficult event in your life where you didn't have the courage of your convictions? Where you didn't live the way that God's goodness informed you to live? I was so distressed. Without taking time to shave or to even dress or to wash my crippled feet, I rode off rapidly on a donkey to the River Jordan to meet the king as he was coming back from battle. And as he approached, he looked at me with stern eyes, and he addressed me. "Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me?" Haltingly, I tried to explain. I tried to tell him what my actions were about, but I confessed I was ashamed that I had been disloyal after all the kindness he had bestowed upon me. And then I bowed low, claiming that I was so undeserving, realizing that I had no reason to expect his kindness. I pleaded, "What right do I have to make any approach to the king. There was a pause. The pause was so long that when I looked up from the shameful expression facing the ground, I saw David staring at me. He did not reprimand me. He did not humiliate me. Rather, he seemed to brush off my feeble explanation with a simple gesture that said, "Why say more?" I knew that in spite of all that had been reported about me, I was forgiven again. The king turned to Ziba and ordered him to give back one half of all of the land to me. All of the possessions I had had now would belong to both Ziba and myself. How gracious and compassionate the king was. And I realized that this great king understood and forgave my weakness and my ingratitude. Earnestly, I cried, "Oh, let Ziba take everything now that my Lord King has arrived home safely." I freely gave up all my wealth. I was merely content to have the favor of my beloved David, whom my father loved dearly. Once again, I bowed in my heart and I vowed to myself that I would forever, from that time on, be faithful to my king. You know, people like myself who have disabilities, people who are crippled, people who have difficulty fitting in, people who are on the margins of society, can be loved by God. And that's what David represented to me. That great word in my Hebrew language, hesed, cannot be captured by any single word in the English language. Often it's translated loving undeserved kindness. Oh, when a friend does you a favor, you might slap him on the back or give him a hug or tell her that she was a great friend. But undeserved favor? That's not something we share easily, is it? Someone who has never treated us well, and yet we offer kindness. That is what our great God does. Hesed can only, in truth, be offered by God. But we are called to imitate our God. And my King David used that kindness, that hesed, to grant favor to his undeserving servant. Who are we going to use in our lives? Who am I, a cripple, going to use in my life? Offer undeserved kindness and favor, coveted loyalty, unmerited favor. I think that's why my story is in Scripture. In those great rolls, the scrolls of remembrance, to remind us that even in our weakened state, we have things to offer to God. Well, my time has come to an end. I would invite you to stand and